How's everybody doing today? Yeah, okay, we've got a few mumbled good. Everybody else is still sleeping. That's all right. We'll wake you up a little bit. I'm just going to slide this out of the way just a little bit. It was a beautiful week. We should have a little more energy after that beautiful weather, right? All right. Who was excited when they saw the bulletin cover this morning? Walked in and you went, oh, this is awesome. They're going to talk about my money. Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. When people see bulletin, what's that? Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord, brother. When people see a bulletin or a message on tithing, you know what we see? Let's throw this up if we can. If you can't see it, the pastor is saying, your tithe is crucial to my retirement plans. And the couple in the back, Pastor Ron decided to quit beating around the bush. I was going to change that to Eric, but I didn't have time. Too often when we hear the church talk about tithing or financial management, This is what we hear. It's not true. It's not true. We talk about, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me stop. Let me just say this. People who are blessed most by tithing, who understand it best and are blessed most by it, because we believe, well, again, ahead of myself, blessed most by tithing are the ones who understand they are giving to God, not to the church. When we tithe, we are tithing, we are giving to the Creator of heaven and earth. Everything seen and unseen, the one who knit you together and has blessed you with everything in your life, that is who we're giving to, not to the church. And when we, and it's a difficult thing, I know. Consistently, the people I talk to, the stories I hear, the testimonies shared, people say, you know what clicked it for me? When I stopped seeing it as a check to the church, and when I saw it for what it really is, an offering to God, giving back to God out of what He has blessed us with. All right. Do you know why we talk about money every year? I don't know if you guys notice this, but we start the year out every year with prayer. We desire to be a church of prayer. We want that to be sort of foundational to who we are. That we are men and women of prayer who connect with God in a deep and intimate way. We then shortly thereafter move into sometimes it's just a one message, sometimes it's a series on money or financial management, financial freedom, or tithing in this case. We do this every year. Do you know why? How many of you feel rich? How many of you are out there going, I am really, stop ruining the curve. Most people, if you were to put money on a slider, really rich and really poor, most of us feel like we are on the bottom part of that slider. If you're like most Americans, the biggest concern, the first reason for anxiety is finances. There are statistics everywhere that tell us the number one cause for divorce is arguments over finances. Why do we talk about finances? Because it is an incredible felt need. The second reason we talk about finances is because God has a lot to say. God has a lot to say. Remember, this world is God's. He created it. He understands it. Do you know, when Jesus was walking on the earth, 25% of his recorded teachings dealt with money. Think if Eric and I used that same percentage. That's 13 Sundays a year. A little over one Sunday every month, Eric and I would have to talk about money. How many of you would still come to this church if that's what we did? 16 of Jesus' 38 parables, deal with money. How we relate to and manage and deal with money is a topic that is woven throughout Scripture. Man, how foolish would we be as a family to understand this incredible felt need and to understand all God has to say on it and to just ignore it. We would be foolish. We would be foolish not to talk about it. All right. We're doing okay. Let's pray, and we'll get into some more of the content. Lord, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you that we can come and worship you. Father, we thank you for that sweet time to sing and to praise you, to be drawn right to your throne. Lord, and I just echo the prayers in that song, Heartbeat. Lord, would you just draw each of us so close to you that all we can hear is your heartbeat. Lord, this morning as we talk about this sometimes difficult and touchy subject, would you draw us to you? Would you help us see this from your perspective? Would you move our perspectives and our biases out of the way, and could we just see your Scripture clearly? Lord, we know, we believe, Lord, that you desire to bless us. But we need to be faithful. Lord, would you just move in our hearts? Move in our hearts to draw closer to you. Would you just touch our hearts, Lord, that we would commit today that whatever we need to do to be close to you, we will do it. Pray, Lord, that you would just speak through me this morning. Move me out of the way, Lord, and would you just speak your truth powerfully to us this morning. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you come regularly, you know, you may notice that I try to finish the message every Sunday with a challenge. The hope is that it's some sort of application for what we've talked about. Okay? And we're going to change it up this week. And we're going to start with the challenge. I know, if you're into routine, this is going to mess you up a little bit. We're going to start with the challenge. You ready? Here we go. It's pretty simple. My challenge to you this Sunday: would you tithe? Would you tithe? Would you just move towards tithing? Even if it's inch by inch by inch, would you, as an act of worship to God, give just a little bit back from what He has blessed you with? All right, what is tithing? Real quickly, tithing, just a tenth, just the way we describe giving, 10% back to God. 10% of all that He blesses us with, we give back to Him. In Leviticus, it sort of breaks it down and says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord, the entire tithe of the herd and flock. Every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. All right. So 10%, that's what a tithe is. We understand that this is difficult. All right? Most of our culture, if you look at our plate, like it's a plate of food, our finances, like it's a plate of food, it is a jumbled mess. You got potatoes mixed in with corn and gravy. It's just a mess. Some people like potatoes and corn, but they shouldn't. Anyway, we have to fix that, right? If it is the number one felt need that we have is finances are sort of a jumbled mess, we need to start to straighten that out. We need to get a plan to clean that up, okay? We understand that that is difficult. The first step is being faithful to God in the tithe. All right. Why is that? What is the first purpose of money? We've talked about this before, so we're not going to talk about it too much. But the first purpose of money is worship. The first purpose of money is worship. I really believe that. We're not going to dig into that too much. Like I said, we've talked about it before. I'm just telling you, you search the scriptures, you will see that it is true. The first purpose of money is worship. Money is this incredible opportunity that we have to live out in a practical way the priorities that we confess with our mouth. We say we love God above everything else. We say we want to follow Him. Does our money match up with those statements? Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And we've already said money can be so burdensome. And without realizing it, this incredible gift of God that He has given us to help in our worship of Him, it can begin to work its way to a place in our lives where it is more important than it should be. It can begin to take the place of God subtly. It becomes an idol. Remember, we've talked about this before, an idol is usually something really good that we have elevated to a place in our lives that belongs only to God. And money does that really subtly. Really subtly. And I would put forth, this might be sort of controversial, it's not a question of, is money an idol? It's really more of a question of, how much of an idol is it in my life? Maybe that's not true. I think if you look around our world, it's really a question of how much, not whether it is. Money works its way in, subtly, slowly. Slowly, money and what you can buy with money, it begins to entangle us. It begins to sort of work its way through and grab its little hooks into us. It begins to poison us. And it begins to poison our relationship with God. Look at what it says in Malachi 3. This is the go-to verse for tithing. Okay? It says, "Will a mere mortal rob God?" This is God talking. "Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offering, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Do you know what sticks out to me every time I read this section of Scripture? Every time. God says this incredible, sort of mind-blowing thing right in the middle. Almighty God, who is powerful over everything. And over, he tells people, just trust me. In this one area, God says, test me. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates. God loves us so much, He does not want us to be entangled by money. It's too small of a thing. All right. In Luke 12, it says, and this is what Rollin read this morning, it says, then Jesus said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Life is not measured by how much you own. As an act of worship to God, we have got to live sacrificially below our means. We have got to live sacrificially below our means so that money doesn't entangle us and poison us. So that it doesn't grab a place in our heart that it shouldn't have, that is reserved for God. Man, can we move towards tithing? I mean, I'm serious. We just inch. Can we just commit to putting $20, giving God $20. What did he say in Malachi? Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates. You can't outgive God. If we just start moving towards tithing, we will be pleasing to God. We will be paving the way for God to say, well, good, well done, good and faithful servant. All right. This idea of money and finances, it is a really delicate, touchy issue, isn't it? You know what I think is amazing? When I read the Bible, God understands how difficult this is. He understands how quickly money can entangle us. Unintentionally so. You know what he did in the Old Testament? This blows my mind. I wish we did it now. In the Old Testament, he instituted a law for his people where they could not be in debt for more than 7 years. Every seventh year is called the year of Jubilee. All debts were forgiven. All property was returned. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine? How would this change our perspective on money? If, hey, I'm just gonna get stuff. I'm gonna buy up as much land as I can, and I'm just gonna own this town. Well, in 7 years, I've got to give it all back, though. Oh, I think that's great. It loosens our hold on that stuff. God does this because He loves us. He doesn't want us to be destroyed by this love of money or love of things. He doesn't want us to be burdened by debt. God understands how delicate money is as a subject to us. But he also knows that the first purpose of money is worship. All right. Let's throw up this picture. Does anybody know who this guy is? Any guesses? No, okay, that's okay. His name is Chris Gardner. And he has lived a pretty remarkable life. When he was younger, he thought that he was starting a family. He was married, they had a young son. And when his son was two, his wife left him and left the son. Chris was trying to scrape by financially, and he wasn't really making it. He wasn't making it. And sort of a funny story, he stopped a guy with a fancy car and said, How do you do this? How do you afford this? And the guy says, well, he's a stockbroker. So he asked him, How do I become a stockbroker? So he starts this program to get his license to be a stockbroker. Through the process, he did not make enough to provide for him and his son, and they became homeless. He tells a story of there's a public bathroom that had a lock on it, and he and his son would go there some nights when they couldn't get other places. You may have seen the movie based on the book he wrote called The Pursuit of Happiness. You got some people nodding, you figured it out. That's good. Will Smith played Chris Gardner. He had this, he's studying to be a stockbroker. He's doing all of this work to try and get his family on its feet. In the meantime, in order to do that, he was homeless, trying to take care of his two-year-old son. Eventually, he became a stockbroker. Eventually, he became very successful. Successful enough to become a millionaire, and he has now started his own firm in Chicago. Mr. Gardner was able to withstand those trials because he believed in a greater reward. He believed in a greater reward. He was able to go through all of those struggles because he could see where they were going. He believed his sacrifice for a small time was worth the sacrifice. He knew the reward wouldn't come right now, or even tomorrow, or even next week. But he was absolutely convinced if he was disciplined enough, and he waited long enough, he would be rewarded beyond his sacrifice. He would be rewarded beyond his sacrifice. Guys, this is exactly what God tells us about money. We will be disciplined. We will be rewarded beyond our sacrifice. Hebrews 12:11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Does anybody know what the word discipline in the New Testament means? It's actually the word paideia. Paideia, we translated discipline. It means correcting mistakes. Correcting mistakes, curbing passions. I love this one. Sharply unpleasant correction. Sharply unpleasant correction. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about Chris Gardner. He said he knew if he could be disciplined enough, if he could live with sharply unpleasant correction long enough so that his plate got organized, he would be rewarded beyond his sacrifice. We need to be disciplined with our money. We need to correct our mistakes. We need to curb our passions. We need to be open to sharply unpleasant correction. Because later on, we will be rewarded beyond our small sacrifice. I'm running out of time. I've got a couple more verses we need to get through. Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Do you see where we're going? Can we live a disciplined life here, faithful to what God has asked us to, because we know the reward is far greater than our small sacrifice here. Romans 2:6, God will repay each person according to what they have. 1 Timothy 6:18-19. The context of this truly is finances. That's what Paul is addressing. He says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. That they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Do you see what God is saying as he's weaving through? He's saying, you know what, guys? This is a small, our lives are but a breath. This is a small window of eternity. Can we be faithful now? Can we deal with sacrificially living below our means now so that we can reap a greater reward when life is truly life? We'll finish up there. Just remind us, the first purpose of money is worship. It is worship. It is this unbelievable opportunity to give back to God, to live out what God has called us to be drawn closer to God. We need to live below our income. Be disciplined with our money. We need to worship God with our money. The challenge, again, that we started with, can we move towards the tithe? As an act of worship to God, so that He will be free to bless us beyond our wildest imagination. Let me pray and the worship team can come up. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you know and understand the difficulties and the pull that money has in my heart and our heart, Father. And that you desire only what is best for us. Lord, would you just do a work in our hearts, Lord, that we would see money as a tool to worship you and to do your will. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would test you in this, knowing that we cannot outgive you, that you will bless us. And praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.